Hello, everybody, and welcome to the AstroProvince.com anime and manga podcast. As always, this podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today it's brought to you by Jinx. Clothes for gamers and geeks. Click the link at the bottom of the page or any of the banner ads on the site, assuming there still is a site when this goes up. And
well, when this goes up, there will be a site.
Unless I find some workaround.
Hmm.
But yeah, so do all that. And so when this goes up, click any of the ads for drinks and go buy some cool shirts and shit. Now we don't have as many cool shirts. We do still have one cool shirt. So go to destroprods.com/store and buy some of our other not cool shirts. Or our one cool shirt with the Because Japan shirt available now in fat person sizes. And regular people sizes.
That's wide.
Yeah. Or if you don't feel like paying money for clothing and just feel like giving money to dying children, then go to destroprods.com/extra, that's all one word, and donate. All proceeds raised go to the Children's Miracle Network hospitals that we are supporting. And all donations are tax deductible. And for every $50 donated to Bobby's personal page, he will be playing an hour of Amnesia straight.
Hells yeah.
None of this wishy-washy bullshit of playing for 10 minutes to get me too scared and turn the game off. It is just straight boom, boom, boom.
And it'll all be recorded, won't
yes.
it?
Depends if I have a large enough hard drive by then.
Mm.
Oh, well, so I'm your host, the Dead Man. So today we have Bovion.
Hello.
Budgetron.
Hello.
And Ninja Kitty.
Hello.
What are you doing here, Kitty?
Pardon?
What are you doing here?
Well, I don't know. Why am I here? What happened?
Let me get the squirt bottle.
Yeah.
Oh, if you wait, I'll go hide in the corner. When you go to bed, I'll just, like, sit on your face, my tail towards your nose, and I will just fart right in it once you wake up. Just.
That's why we need Anbu guys. It's Anbu guys armed with squirt bottles. They better take her. It'll be fine. It'll be fine. Mr. Kitty, since you're new here, what have you been watching and reading recently?
Watching. Well, I recently watched two, like, they're the same series, but they're technically two seasons, I
actually
think?
Before you talk about it, it's one of them is our anime club anime from last week, but since I wasn't here to talk about it, we're going to talk about it a little bit
here. Okay.
So it's Bakemonogatari.
And
Nisemonogatari.
Yes. The season two of it. Mm. Yes.
So I've never seen an anime that has red outlines before. I thought that it was really distracting at first until you got a couple episodes in, and then you got used to it. It has quite the nice effect. I like it.
Yeah, that was one of the things that we liked was the visual aesthetic of the show, because there's not really anything else like it.
Yeah, especially like how like starkly black and white it'll be one moment, and then there's something random that's like bright red or bright yellow. But everything has a red outline.
Yeah.
Until, like, a few episodes in, then they have some black outlines.
Yeah, and also, like, it's constantly changing, like, animation styles from, like, scene to scene, too.
Mm-hmm. And the little cutscenes? Well, they're not really cutscenes, they're just single frames, but I liked that addition. Gonna have to go back, though, in Bakemonogatari to each, like, right after all the openings.
Mm-hmm.
To figure out what all that fucking text says.
Yeah. One of them described how he became a vampire.
Yeah. And apparently
there's gonna be a movie.
Yeah, there's gonna be a movie coming out. I think sometime this year is what I've been hearing. But nothing concrete about when it's gonna happen. But there's gonna be a movie about Scar Story. I forget the Japanese one's called.
Okay.
Japanese name is. But
I can't remember the title of it. Unless you just said it, Pudge. Did you say it and I didn't hear you?
It's called Scar Story. That's what it translates into.
Okay, well,
but
I know it's something
like,
Monogatari.
Yeah, it's...
And it's something like, with a K, but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Scar Monogatari?
Kise Monogatari? Or something...
Possibly Kise Monogatari. That might be it.
It's very close to that, if not.
But yeah, like, Bakemonogatari can translate into Mon Story, or... Ghost Story, or, and Nisemonogatari can be impostory. I think that's actually the only translation.
Impostory?
Yes, as in imposter. Story.
But combined into one word. Impostory.
I hate that translation.
That translation
don't blame me.
Hates
the
you.
The author's a genius.
Yeah, so, yeah, it probably is, but the title is shit.
That's just his shtick.
I think Dead Man missed the point of that title.
So yeah, Nisi Monogatari. I didn't know there was any such thing as erotic toothbrushing.
Oh my
yeah,
god.
I can almost guarantee you will never look at a toothbrush the same way again after watching episode 8.
No, I went to brush my teeth that night and I'm like, oh man. I could not brush my teeth the same. I'm like, oh god, this is weird.
So just to check, Deadman, have you seen Nisi Monogatari?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, can we spoil a little bit here for the audience's sake? What?
I don't give a fuck, go ahead.
So yeah, for the audience members who are confused and for Deadman, there's a scene where basically, Araragi's younger sister, Karen, wants to meet Kanbaru, his lesbian friend. Hmm. And he doesn't want a letter, and she's like, I'll complete any challenge you give me, and
she even offers up her virginity.
Yeah, there's an odd sexual dynamic between him and his sisters, but back on track. Any challenge he gives her, and he's like, let me brush your teeth. And she's like, what? That's simple.
For 5 minutes, though.
For 5 minutes. Anyways, it turns out he knows this little technique of erotic toothbrushing. And so it's giving her sexual pleasure as he's brushing her teeth, which should be really weird because it's his brother. It's her brother, sorry. But then he starts to get into it. And it gets really fucking weird.
He's like, I never really realized it, but I think my sister might be the cutest girl in the world. She's just like collapsed on his bed, breathing heavily. He has like her toothbrush in her mouth. Oh my god, it was so not right.
Yeah, that's a thing.
Well, for the record, it's not... Araragi doesn't know some special Kama Sutra technique with a toothbrush. It's, like, it's an overplaying of the fact that you really... Most people are a little personable about other people going inside them. Like, some people refuse to have their hair cut by a stranger. That's even one of the examples they use in the episode. They don't like strangers touching other people, fiddling with their hair or their feet or whatever. You know, there are people like that, and in general, it applies to a certain degree for other people, and even more so if you go inside somebody else's body. That's why a lot of people seem to not like the dentist. And they just kind of took it to its completely illogical extreme.
Yeah.
Somebody's reaction to that.
I guess I didn't know, but I only referenced that because he literally says, thank you, Kanbaru, for your twistedness, and basically thanking her for some sort of knowledge.
Also, he was, like, really gently stroking the underside of her tongue and places that you don't really brush your teeth.
Well,
who
yeah,
brushes
well,
underneath
you're supposed to brush
tongue?
Your tongue.
Yeah.
You're supposed to.
Yeah.
Underneath?
Yeah, like there are
there are
toothbrushes now that have like tongue scrubbers on them.
Oh, I know.
Slowly, so that each bristle slowly like pulls back from the tongue. Nuh-uh.
The point of that was he's trying to make this as excruciatingly awkward for her as possible, so she gives up.
Yeah,
and so he doesn't have to introduce her to his crazy lesbian who, as a matter of fact, tries to rape him.
Oh, okay.
Hilariously.
Yeah, that seems to be a lot of the, like, in just Bakemonogatari, there was a lot of, like, kind of sexual assaulting that's been played for laughs.
Yes, there's been a lot of inappropriate sexual conduct in that show. That has been played for very much for laughs.
Yeah, she answers the phone with, hi, I'm Araragi's sex slave. Who are you? How you doing? Yeah. And Araragi's on the other line. What do you think you're saying to other people? It's like, oh, that reaction must be from Araragi. Yes. That's if she's just saying it to anybody who answers the phone, or who calls her, I should say.
Yeah, it's like, this is Araki Sex Slave. It's like, this is... It's like, hi, sweetie, it's Mom. It's like, oh, hi, Mom. It's like, yo, bro, it's Mom. Zip. Hey, Mom, what's up?
Oh, there's something even better. At one point, for some reason, she likes to strip down to nothing when she's talking on the phone with them. And she had her door wide open to her bedroom. So she, here she is, like, completely naked, talking on the phone to them, being completely ridiculous. And her grandmother walks by. She just looks at her and just walks away. She's like, goes into such a bout of despair, like, I can't ever see her again.
Yeah, what has been seen cannot be unseen.
Well, to be fair, she made an attempt by enshrining herself in a fortress of books.
Okay.
But she was right by the door.
I guess.
By, like, I think about 7 feet away from the door.
Clearly visible from the door, basically.
It's not just a single door, either. It's like the double-open door.
Yes, we're getting a panoramic view.
Oh, yeah.
Of your granddaughter being naked.
Oh, my God. As perverted and very awkward that anime can get at times, I really enjoyed watching it.
Yeah, it's a... I'm just speaking from Bakemonogatari experience, but the anime is very fun.
Actually, there is a scene from Nisei Monogatari you're going to recognize. You may remember at Anime North, during the MV competition, we saw the one with the rubber ducky.
That the...
Oh, I think I remember that.
That is from Nisei Monogatari.
You'll recognize it. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I'm like, wait a minute. I've seen this bathroom scene. What the hell?
That bathroom scene's hilarious.
It came to me in a dream. You're like, you're premonating on what anime you're going to be watching, like that guy did when he Usagi dropped, when he had the premonition about Rin. Which we'll be getting into later in the show.
Yay!
So yeah, what else you got?
Hold on, what else have I watched?
Dusk Maiden of Amnesia.
Oh, yes! The really overly obsessive ghost girl.
Is this an anime tie into Amnesia the Dark Descent?
No. That would have been kind of awesome, though.
Yeah, just like showing like the anime stuff, what happens behind the scenes of just like the ghost mages going around putting all the weird red shit on the walls.
do you mind about the synopsis for this one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so in the first episode, we just see the Paranormal Investigations Club and what's the name of the one girl who can't see Yuko?
Okinogi.
Okay, yeah, she's sitting there, she's, you know, writing down a bunch of stuff about, oh, could I have seen a ghost here, could I have seen a ghost here? Meanwhile, shit is literally floating around the room around her, and she doesn't notice.
No, she does, but she passes it off. Like, she has a drink, she, like, sips it, sets it down, and then it's, like, on the opposite end, like, there's a couch on either side of the table, and it ends up, like, where someone else would be sitting across from her. She's like, how did it get there? There must be a ghost! No, I just need more sleep.
I was more referring to the fact that when Yuko's literally dangling something in front of her face and she doesn't notice.
Oh, so she's one of those people.
But yeah, and then we find out that I'm forgetting character names again. Teichi and what's the other girl's name?
I don't remember. I'm very bad with names.
The other two members of the Paranormal Investigations Club can see Yuko. We get to see what Yuko looks like. And she's basically been fucking with Okinogi this whole time, while also basically just being mischievous and fucking with everybody. And then it's not until the second episode that we find out a little bit more about her. So basically, Teichi, he's the main character, he went to the old building of his school, he looked in this supposedly cursed mirror, and he looked over his shoulder and he became aware of Yuko's existence, and she pretty much tried to rape him right then.
As ghosts are wont to do.
Not so much rape him, but they do develop a sort of relationship, and they create the Paranormal Investigations Club in order to investigate her past, and that's pretty much where the anime goes from there. I think it's spoiled too much of the storyline.
Mm-hmm. Oh, something to note is that she can completely interact with things.
Yeah.
So she can, like, completely, like, she can grab your hair, pull it around. So she ends up, like, dragging him around at points. Like, how the hell is he defying the laws of physics? She kicks him into places, and all the meanwhile, the other girl's like, oh my god, what's happening?
Well, I smell a ghost.
Only two people can touch her. I'm not sure if she can touch people who can't touch her.
Well, she can touch, like... Oh, no. She can touch her. Remember? She picks up part of her hair at one point, and then, like, Keishi's like, no, stop.
Oh, right. So, yeah, I guess she can kind of touch people, but only those two people can touch and see her.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty messed up, but it's awesome. It's hilarious, too.
I gotta say, the funniest episode is the first one.
Yeah.
And you know, it goes on from there, and it's got an interesting story, and a lot of good humor.
A lot of good humor, definitely.
Okay.
But also it can completely turn around and be, like, horrifying at the same time. Like, when it gets more into her backstory, it's like, oh, god damn, that's sick.
Oh, so it's one of those kind of schizophrenic shows.
It's not really...
Like one of the things that I, like... A show like Koriwa Zombie Desuka, like, a lot of it is just, like, kind of psych, kind of, like, just gag stuff of, like, oh, hey, all this is happening. But there's, like, an episode where, like, one person, like, kills himself over and over and over again by sticking a sword through their stomach.
Oh, Japanese suicide.
Yeah, seppuku.
Yeah.
And then she just gets up, her eyes are huge, but her pupils are, like, the size of, like a poppy seed, and she's just laughing hysterically the entire time.
Sounds like fun.
Yeah.
You ever know
her? To be fair, the character was effectively immortal at that point.
Yeah, still, but it's like, oh hey, my gut's everywhere.
That's funny.
Look at my intestines.
Yeah. Oh, look. It's like, oh, why can't I hold all these intestines? But yeah, like, shows like that and the When They Cry series... I can't remember its actual name, but I just call it... Yeah, like, that one, it gets to a point where, like, it starts out just all, like, lighthearted and shit, and then just takes, at some point, just, like, takes a hard left down, oh, what the fuck? Like, there's this one story arc where they had, it's like, oh, yeah, all these kids playing a card game, that it ends with, oh, I just beat two of my friends to death with a baseball bat, now I'm clawing out my own throat while on the phone with the cop.
Sounds like a really fun time.
Yeah. You know, Thursday nights...
Damn, I wish I had that. Like,
you know, had a bit too much to drink. You know, a baseball bat's there. What else are you gonna do?
Was it aluminum?
That
would mean, like, I was gonna say the shininess aspect.
Well, the wooden ones are usually still shiny because they get finished.
They get gloss.
Yeah, then, like, you beat them enough and the bat breaks. You know, that's how you show your hardcore. You beat someone to death with a bat so hard the bat breaks.
Now you know you've done a thorough job.
Yeah.
Don't Moving stop on. Until the bat breaks. That's a good motto for life.
But yeah, get back to your original question. The show isn't really that schizophrenic. It just gets... It kind of goes into these dark lulls when they start getting close to what Yuko's past is really like.
Okay, but, like, is,
really like?
But is it, like, a gradual thing where, like, it just, like, goes, builds up to the, like, horribleness? Or is it just, like, every once in a while it'll just be like, oh, I happy school life shit, and then, oh my god, what is happening? And then back to happy school life shit.
I will say it's mostly gradual, except there's at least one time where it does kind of go, oh, happy school life, bam, shit is fucked up. And I will say that your theory about Japanese students being totally insane, there's something that happens in this anime. I'm not going to actually spoil it. But you know how it's usually in the series where crazy shit is happening and then the students go crazy and start murdering each other?
Yes.
Almost nothing happens. They're literally in no danger whatsoever and they start trying to kill each other.
Yeah, they went off on a rumor.
It's like, oh, hey, I heard this rumor that, like, that guy's not actually an natural brunette. Kill him!
Oh, man, it's messed up. Yeah, and I just wondered the whole time, where are the teachers?
They're already dead.
They're the first ones to get decapitated and raped.
Yeah, start with the authority figures, then work your way down. That way people know you're serious. I mean, like, in aphorism, when that guy wanted to take over his class, first thing he did, ripped out a teacher's eyes. You know, boom. Assert your dominance. It's prison rules.
Who has the good pair of eyes now? I'm watching you with an extra set.
Then he takes the class president's brain. Not so smart now, are you, bitch?
Awesome. I like the way this guy thinks.
Yeah. And then some guy tries to run, he steals his legs.
Well, extra set of eyes, a second brain, and an extra set of legs. I think he's onto a good start.
He doesn't actually put them into himself, he just kind of rips them out.
Oh.
If he saved those, he could build himself a pretty good Frankenstein monster.
He's got a plan. You just don't know about
Or he could turn himself into a spider.
Just climbed along the wall. Hey, kitties.
He'd need four more eyes and another set of arms.
Yeah, human spider hybrid.
Yeah.
He's halfway there.
The spinoff to the human centipede.
Wait, he'd need. Oh, man. Now I'm imagining it. Like, a million sets of legs. Oh, God. Oh. Okay,
so
I need to
back on topic.
Yeah. Why are you being James tonight?
I don't know who James is.
You don't want to know.
Thank you.
So, moving on. What else you got?
What else have I watched? you're my memo pad.
Well, we started re-watching Fairy Tail.
Oh, boy.
And actually came across something really, really hilarious.
Yes.
And it's only funny if you've either read the manga or if you're watching through again.
Okay.
So it's been put in there just for people like me. There's this point where when Gray and Natsu first end up fighting Eisenwald, when the lower members steal Happy to try and eat him.
Mm-hmm.
And
they're taking one out by another, and they're totally getting pwned.
Yeah, but they're going through the Eisenwald mages, pretty much kicking their asses. And Gray goes up to the one guy, and you see him pulling out a glowing crystal ball, and like, oh, what's he going to do with this? He starts telling the future. I see trouble in your future with water and women.
Like, I can't believe I didn't remember that. I was just like, oh man!
It's so far away from the point where Juvia shows up, and it's just such a little thing
that's
easily forgettable.
That's good. It's pretty good.
Yeah. The benefits of going back and watching again.
Yeah.
The reason, of course, that we're doing this is because we want to keep watching Fairy Tail, but we're sick of the fucking filler arc.
Well, it's technically canon filler, but...
No.
It's filler.
They referenced it in the manga. Okay, that doesn't make it any better. It's still filler. It's still dumb.
Mm-hmm.
But consider also the fact that your face is also dumb. I had to. I'm sorry.
Alright, face joke. Take a drink.
But yeah, also, it's actually kind of interesting to see how much differently the characters acted back then.
Yeah, like, how every time Gray was like, where's my clothes? Now he's just, like, naked all the time.
It's like, so what? Yeah, my clothes are gone.
Yeah. Okay, I'll take off some more of them. What you got?
But yeah, I don't think he's stripped down butt naked, for a current point, has he?
Rolling around in his boxers.
I think we've only seen him do completely naked once, and that's because Natsu stole his boxers.
Yeah.
I don't even remember that. I can enjoy that.
I bet you will.
Episode.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so. Back on.
Have we watched anything else?
Not that I can really think of.
Okay, so. On to me now, I guess.
Oh, wait, sorry. There were a couple.
Okay.
I don't remember the titles of them. So why don't you do one series, and by that point I will have them pulled up.
Okay, so I guess I'll start the show with a showstopper. I read some Monster Musume no Inu Nichijou, which is a series about monster girls. Yeah, so in this show, so in this manga, I mean, 3 years prior to this manga, it was revealed that the Japanese government has been, for decades, hiding the existence of a subspecies of humans that are part human, part animal. And so then, the rest of the series revolves around a kid, well, revolves around a guy, named Kudusu Kimihito, who is the host house of one of these snake people, is one of these people, Lamia, which is a snake person named Mia. And it's just kind of, and it's real weird because it's an eshi series, so it's a lot of, so it's an eshi harem series, so it's a lot of sex jokes, but it's sex jokes with people who are half animal.
So, furries.
Not
human furries.
Not really, because how often do you see people being furries as snakes?
Okay, human bestiality then.
Pretty much, yeah. Like, these people are half human, half whatever animal they are part of, and it's a little bit weird seeing the biology of how a human has sex with a snake girl. It turns out
she slither around.
No, she has like a little flap that hides her vagina.
Oh, no.
Yep.
No.
Yeah. And she also has panties. But it's actually just a triangle that she puts in front of the flap. It has a bow on it. Because panties.
Okay.
Well, yeah, so
try not mentally image that. Okay.
Well, yeah. So the first bit of the series is him is Kudusu living with Mia, and like she's always trying to like get him to have sex with her because she loves him, but he can't because if he does, he'll be arrested and she'll be deported. So he's doing everything he can not to have sex with her, and it's not hard because every time she does anything, she almost kills him. Because like because she has like a snake tail that like always coils around him and like wakes up in the morning and she is like on top of him with a snake tail wrapped around him so hard he can't breathe, and she never notices that she's doing this to him. So yeah, then after all that happens, then we get Pappy, who is a half human, half bird. She has bird wings and bird feet, and she also is in love with Kudusu. And then we have Setia, who is a half human, half horse. We have Big Tits, who has given her life to Kudusu. It is sex humor. It's like it's eshy sex humor and really, 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 really weird sex stuff. But it is still funny. It's just, if you're the squeamish type, this manga probably isn't for you.
Good to know.
Yeah, but if you are willing to, say, let people fuck whatever they want, then you can get some enjoyment out of this series. And not the kind you're thinking of, you sick perverts.
But also that kind, too.
For those sick perverts out there, yes, that kind, too. But yeah. So, how's that one? Have you guys found the title for the one that you
remember? Yeah, I found the title. So, first one is AKB0048.
Okay.
This is a fun one. The next two I'm going to talk about have to do with girls wanting to become pop stars. So basically, it's on this planet where, yeah, I'm not going to be too specific. And Pudge, please don't jump in and tell me all the mistakes I'm making. Save that for me. So basically, they're on this planet where, certain types of arts and music have been banned. So there's this ship called the AKB0048. It basically goes to planets like this, and they put on pop shows.
Wait,
it's a renegade planet-to-planet pop show.
So it's a...
They're traveling entertainment. Illegal, though.
Yeah, because entertainment has been banned on this planet.
That's really weird.
Yeah, apparently, like, you're not even really allowed to sing ever, even if it's just casual singing, or dance. If anyone catches doing that, it's frowned upon.
It's like they took the Footloose concept and just expanded it out to everything.
So yeah, basically we've now got these,
Does the main bad guy look like John Voight?
There's no main bad guy,
it's just a government. Nameless, faceless.
Does the government look like John Voight?
No. Anyway, so we see these four little girls who snuck off to go to see the pop concert, and they see it, and I gotta say, this is actually a very entertaining sequence, the pop concert.
Yeah, actually.
You've got all the idols singing, as well as piloting mechs and fighting, because the military is attacking them with, I shit you not, anti-idol missiles.
What is that? Is it just like a missile that berates them with really bad reviews of their album?
No, it is a missile that tracks and destroys idols.
How do you distinguish an idol from a non-idol?
Magic. And science. Just a little bit, though.
Okay.
So, yeah, basically you've got this pop concert going on while they're also fighting the military. Yeah, I think there's some mechs involved, and there's guns and rocket launchers, and it gets crazy. It's hilarious.
Yeah, they're, like, zooming by, dodging missiles, singing to their fans, winking, dancing, and fuck the military, dancing.
It's like Eureka 7, but with Pop Idol. That's what I'm getting from this. Like, a small ragtag group of anti-government people with mechs are going around fighting them any chance they get, only instead of using space surfboards, they're using fucking J-pop.
So anyways, yeah, we fast forward to years later, I don't know how many years, I'm not going to remember. We've got three of the girls, we don't know what happened to the fourth one, although I believe that's a plot point for later in the anime, but I've only seen the first episode. And basically they find out that AKB-0048 is having auditions for the next generation. And so you've got to send it securely encrypted over the net, and then they, all three of them, get chosen to go and go to the next stage of auditions.
So they actually had to, like, send an audition video. So, like, hey guys, my name is Rick, I'm going to be singing this song.
Pretty much. And then, yeah, the one character is basically battling with herself as to whether or not she's going to do it, and then eventually decides to ride a... what is that thing? It's like a super fast future unicycle thing. Manages to catch up to a launching spaceship, grab onto someone's hand, and get pulled on.
As it's launching.
Oh.
And that's where the first episode leaves off.
Okay.
As entertaining as it is, I don't think I would continue to watch it.
I wouldn't either. I was so confused for most of the time. I'm just like, what the fuck? They haven't explained anything!
That's so that you go back and watch the second episode, so that you actually figure out what the hell's happening.
I didn't want to, though. I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
I don't know what's going on. I'm scared.
Yep.
So, moving on, the other series is Natsuhiro Kiseki. It's also involving girls becoming idols, but we don't really see any of that yet.
Are they in space?
No.
Then the show is immediately more less interesting than that one.
Well, they do travel up towards space.
Anyways, yep. Yeah, I can really quickly synopsize this one. There's a group of friends, and they're kind of in the middle of a falling out because one of them is moving. It didn't tell them and, like, doesn't care what they think and blah, blah, blah. And there's this wishing rock that they used to use when they were kids, and they wish to become idols. And then the one friend tries to force them to wish on it again. At one point, they wish to fly, and then they start flying.
Yeah, the one person, like, looks up in the sky all over and is like, oh, I wish I could fly.
Actually, first she says, the sky is blue. In case we all forgot.
Yes.
And I wish I could fly up in the sky. And then they all kind of go, yeah, I wish I could fly too. And they all put their hands on the rock. I mean, they start flying. They're like, wait, we can actually get what we want by wishing on this rock. And then that's the end of the episode.
And then they're all friends again.
Yeah. So I'm guessing that one girl who's in the sky is blue, wishing that rock to be Captain Obvious. World's greatest superhero.
Yeah, probably.
She's also kind of, you know, she's the aloof airhead of the group. She doesn't say much, and she's just kind of there.
Yeah. He just walks in one day and is like, huh, I'm a girl.
The world.
What's that? She's also pink-haired in Code Geass, one of the knights. What is her, who was she? When before she remembers, like, who she is and everything like that, the way she acts is just like, kind of like, yeah, I say stuff. I go around, I walk, I follow people.
Yeah.
Exact same attitude.
And who are you talking about?
The girl with the pink hair is Mom. In the body. You don't remember. We had to watch Code Geass.
Okay, so. Is that for you guys then?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, so. Moving on to another one of my series. She's Gone. So this is a weird one, so it's Korean. So one day while this kid, Yoo Young-gi, is hanging out playing video games, a weird dragon hatchling thing named Didi comes up to him and says, hey, guess what? You're going to be a hero. Because apparently people around the world have, like, hero potential. And they're like there's a percentage of whatever that could lead to them becoming, like, a great hero from, like, an action RPG. Unfortunately, his hero percentage is only 0.05%.
But a dragon hatchling told him. I mean, that's got to raise his chances by, like, 95.5.
Nope. So at the most recent chapter, he has gone through a battle. He has met other dragons. He has done a whole bunch of hero shit, and his hero percentage has gone up to 4.5.
Wow.
Yeah. So then what happens is Didi says, "I'm here to help you." So she takes him inside his RPG, and starts explaining all the really terrible shit about heroes, of like how they just like go through ransacking people's houses, they attack helpless and defenseless creatures for like no apparent reason, like just walking along and like, oh hey, an ogre, I'm gonna kill it. It's like, but why? Why? How do you know he's a bad ogre? He'd just be walking. He'd be going to his grandma's house for all you know. You just come up and just fucking jack him.
You know, all the crazy shit people do in RPGs.
Yeah, and just like heroes are scam artists and stuff, and then he eventually like talks his way out of it and gets her to reveal that she's actually like one of the head people in a demon army. She works for the demon lord and is trying to demoralize him from becoming a hero.
And why is he important though?
Because he has hero potential. So there's a dark lord in the real world who's like building troops to go like amass an assault or something. And anyone who has hero potential is getting a dragon hatchling sent to them to try to demoralize them, try to either A, demoralize them from becoming a hero, or B, get them to join the demon army.
Or C, kill them.
They don't kill.
Is there a demon army?
They don't kill potential heroes, I guess.
What?
Yeah, and then it's eventually revealed that like this guy specifically, Yoo Young-gi, it turns out he is actually supposed to be like the demon lord's next husband.
Oh
and,
my!
Yeah, and so his hero potential, as his hero potential goes up, his potential of becoming the demon lord husband's go down. So like while his hero potential is at like 4.5, his chance of becoming her husband is at 95.5. And so as he keeps growing at hero potential, his like potential of becoming her husband keeps going down, and she doesn't want that to happen.
So
I want my bitch.
Yeah.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah, and so it's just all... And so it's just kind of making fun of, like, RPG tropes, kind of. And having, like... And it's like seeing this guy who is really inept at everything, just thinking, okay, he's going to become, like, a great hero someday. Because, like, his sisters are better heroes of everything. Like they even go through and start, like, assigning classes to them. Like, they're... So, at one point, they're trying to, like, determine why his hero potential is so shit. And so he goes follows his two sisters, one of whom is a black belt in karate. And the other one is... I don't even know how to describe her. Like, the first time they show her, I thought she was from The Grudge. She has, like, horrible black hair that, like, drapes down over her eyes, big-ass glasses, like... She just, like, every time she speaks, you just see, like, black smoke start coming out of her mouth because she's just so depressing.
Necromancer.
Exactly. That's what they call her. That's the class they sign her.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, but so, like, the sister, it's, like, the younger sister, they, like, following her, and they, like, see her beat up a bunch of bullies who, like, mess with a friend of hers. And it's like, oh, okay, she's gonna be a fighter. And she starts extorting money out of them. So they're like, hey, you guys take a bunch of money from people, right? I get 50% of everything you take, or I start showing these pictures of you in awkward poses all across the world. And so then, like, they decide that she's like a mercenary or something, and like it was decided that both of his sisters have potential to be either great heroes or great demon army guys, and because of that, he is like being constantly demoralized by them, so that's why his hero potential sucks so much. But yeah, it's really funny. It's really funny, like, just seeing them making fun of RPG tropes and everything, and then, like, when they start introducing more, like, hero potential guys, it's actually pretty funny. But yeah, the series is relatively new. It's only a few chapters in, but I really recommend you guys check it out. It's She's Gone, and Gone is spelled without an E. But yeah, check that out. So, moving on to Necromancer. So, in this city, there's a street called Slum Street, where all the horribleness of the city goes. It's like it is the Nocturne Alley of this universe. And so, on that street, there's a guy called the Necromancer, if you bring him a bag of bones, he will bring your loved ones back from the dead. But there are major catches with it, their emotions, like whatever was their main character trait when they were alive, it gets amplified when they're brought back. And the person who brought them back, they make a contract with them, so then the person who gets revived can live for half as long as the person who brought them back has left. So if you have 50 years left, you bring that person back, they get 25 years of your life, and you can keep the other 25. And so this is just kind of a be careful what you wish for type deal of people getting one of their loved ones brought back to life, and then something horrible happens. Like, there was one where there was a mom and her twin daughters, one of her twin daughters died. And so they just keep bringing it back, but then the twin daughter keeps dying over and over and over again, because it turns out her twin has been killing her constantly, like over and over, just killing her over and over, so that she can keep getting attention from her mom.
That's pretty sick, but what about her lifespan?
Well, I'm guessing since she was only, 12, pretty long, but it just keeps, keep killing her over and over and over again, and I'm not entirely sure of the actual... I don't know the exact mechanics behind the contracts. But, yeah, it's all just kind of be careful what you wish for stories. But yeah. And at one point, there's a detective that's doing everything, trying to, solve murders and shit. And she finds the necromancer, and then, for the rest of it, it's just her constantly showing up at the necromancer's place trying to find something to arrest him on. Because nothing he's done is illegal, but she still thinks it's wrong, so she's trying to find something that he's done that's illegal to arrest him for. But she can't. And she is an anime girl. She's not like a hard-boiled serious detective who's trying to find something on this dirty rap but can't. She is just like, you're doing stuff that's wrong, I'm going to arrest you. For what? Give me a minute.
Give me another minute.
Yeah, pretty much.
5 minutes.
Yeah. And it's a weird series. Like, the art style is very, actually, now that I'm thinking about it, it does kind of remind me of the Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt art style. Pudge, you've seen the show, you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like that, but a bit more serious. Like the outlining and the way characters are drawn is kind of similar to Panty and Stocking, but it's a bit more, but it's a bit more grown up and a bit more serious.
So like the transformation sequence animation.
Not. I'm trying.
That field.
I'm trying to find a way to describe it. It's... just think of kind of like a bit of a darker series animation style, but with the Panty and Stocking like world kind of aesthetic and like outline style. Like the only way I'm just thinking of it is just the outlines. It looks... just looking at the outlining of the characters, it looks like Panty and Stocking.
Hmm.
I know, I'm describing it horribly. And I'm probably wrong about this.
Of course you're wrong.
But yeah, it's a pretty good series. I like it. It's pretty bloody, and it actually is pretty funny at times, with everything that happened with the detective. But yeah, so check it out, Necromancer. Available now. And finally, this is something that only has one chapter out. It's called Bacateria. And so, there's this kid, his name is Naoya, and one day he climbs to the top of a clock tower at Kyoto University to find, and up there he finds a guy who apparently knows everything. And so then some stuff happens, and it turns out that he's the turns out this kid is the sacrifice to a demon army that's living under the school.
More demon armies.
Yeah. But it's like, it's not really demon armies, it's like a group of bandits that were, like, killed or something, and all their ghosts are now living under the school and have turned into this horribleness. Like, yeah, I didn't really understand it when I was reading it, but it's a bit weird. It's a comedy horror, where, like, you can easily see, like, the horror aesthetic of it with all, like, the horrible ghost things that are happening under the school and just the way certain characters talk. But then it's all played for laughs, because, like, well, everyone else is acting like they're in a horror anime. This kid is acting like he's in, like, a standard comedy thing of, like, oh, God, what is happening? It's, like, this huge, like, comedy freak-out eyes while running and crying. Yeah, it's kind of weird, but it's... It makes a decent first impression, if a bit confusing first impression.
All right.
Yeah, so check that out. Bakuteria. It's one chapter from Japan's Eye. Available wherever... anime is hosted, or manga is hosted. So yeah, moving on.
Let's be honest, it's not like you're going to be able to get an official release of this.
Yeah. So, moving on. Pudge!
Alright. So.
Okay, and for each series, 20 seconds on the clock.
Yeah, you're all quiet, you. But anyway, let's start simple. Nice, simple, two-line synopsis.
Okay.
Of something I've briefly mentioned in the very early podcasts, I think. Okay. But Saint Young Men.
Okay, and go.
So, basically, it's a slice of life manga about two guys, you know, sharing an apartment. They face, you know, ordinary problems like paying rent, you know, problems on fully packed trains and such. And that's basically it.
Okay.
It's hilarious. Because, well, the two guys are Jesus and Buddha.
Oh!
Oh my god!
Okay, I feel like you should have mentioned that earlier.
No, that was the punchline!
That was perfect timing, man.
Yeah, that was well set up, dude.
So, yeah, it's just...
It's Japan's take on religion.
Jesus and Buddha are basically two frat guys on vacation in Japan. That's the premise for this.
Wait, why would Buddha be on vacation in Japan? Isn't he like?
Yeah. The Buddha was. I want to say Indian.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's probably the origin of most religions at some point or another.
Tibet.
Well, there we go. Tibet.
Yeah. And then.
Well, it's part Shinto. It's hard to explain. The Buddha is part of a couple different religions. That's why it has a large base in Japan, is because it's part Shinto as well.
Yeah, see?
So there's, like, Buddhism and there's Shinto.
There's already a Buddha in Japan.
But anyway...
He came out of Izanagi's left butt cheek.
Actually, I think I've seen a frame from this manga. It was just on a thing on meme base. It was like, what Christians think Jesus looks like, what Japan thinks Jesus looks like.
It is hilarious, though. And Jesus is the, you know, gag guy, and Buddha is the straight man.
Wait, Jesus is the gag guy?
Yeah.
Okay, kind of flipping...
Wacky, out-of-control roommate.
Okay, kind of flipping the script there, because, like, Buddha's the fat one, and you always expect the fat one to be the one who's out of control.
Well,
yeah, it's usually like the one who's like big and unwieldy, who's like the one going all insane, and then like the guy who's like looks relatively normal, being like the straight-laced one who's trying to like clean up after his whoopsies.
For the record, the fat Buddha thing, mm-hmm. is like spiritual fatness.
Yeah. Yes, that was
realistically with all the fasting. Realistically, with all the fasting Buddha did, historically, he'd be extremely thin.
Dude, we're not talking historics; we're talking anime.
Here's the basics. Buddha was naturally, he was thin. You'll see statues of him being thin. The large stomach is a sign of wisdom. That was after he reached enlightenment. That is why you see a fat Buddha.
So as soon as he got, and so as soon as he got enlightenment, his stomach just dropped. I have reached enlightenment. Tong.
No, yeah, that, no need to do any more exercise.
Yeah.
That and a fat happy person looks happier than a thin happy person.
It's true.
Yeah, because like they have so much fat in their face, like they're like when they smile, it really shows.
They can't exactly. help but smile.
Actually, as a skinny person, I must say my smiles look kind of awkward.
And how?
But anyway, check it out. It's hilarious. It's, you know, a sort of fairly standard odd couple manga thing, but it's sacrilege.
It's like, Jesus. It's like, Jesus, how many times have I told you not to put the empty milk carton back in the fridge? Sorry, Buddha. Yeah. It's like sorry Buddha, but I need to use it to hold my weed. It wouldn't surprise me.
Jesus.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Jesus was a drug addict. And seriously, with that facial hair, how can he not be?
Oh. All right. Well, I started simple, and that's about as simple as they can get, I guess. Minus the Jesus Buddha thing, but...
Yep.
On to the next.
Yep, and...
So, last ranker...
On the clock.
Sort of follows Basalta, which is a mercenary association. They rate their members by how powerful they are. I think that there's million...
Wait, did you say rate or rape?
I heard rate.
Rank.
I heard rape, too.
It's like, so they rape their members on a scale of 1 to 10.
They rank, hence the name of the bloody manga.
Are you sure it's not a translation error?
Yeah, this is actually just a manga spinoff of Rape Play. Okay, but anyway, and back on the clock.
But... You know, higher rank you are, the more wealth, fame, power you have. And the top seven, I think, are basically run the association.
And time.
So, well, screw your time. It follows Zig, a boy from Kentalara, a wandering tribe where violence is basically outlawed by their tribe laws, who starts learning how to fight on his own because his father was killed by a bunch of monsters and he couldn't, you know, he feels guilty about not being able to help in any way and so on. So he starts fighting on his own against the laws of his tribe, and after his tribe gets eaten by the same monsters, he decides to go, well, I need to get stronger, and goes to Basalta.
That kid cannot catch a break.
Yeah, he had a pretty shitty childhood.
It's like, oh man, first my dad got eaten, I couldn't do anything, now my tribe got eaten.
Not the whole tribe. But, you know, the people who were important to him.
Yeah.
So they won't
minus his best
even
friend.
Defend their own
it's like everyone who was eaten. It's like, everyone who's important to me has died. I'm still here, bro. Yay!
Yeah. End of it. His best friend also started training in secret with him.
It's like, I'm just... If you were someone's best friend, claim to be someone's best friend, and everyone important to them died and you weren't even approached, I have a feeling that would put a monkey wrench in their relationship.
It's a little complicated what the series of events that leads him to leave. But there were a couple other members of the tribe who used to be mercenaries,
mm-hmm.
who were going back to the mercenary life, so they were leaving on their own. And there was a giant nest of monsters that the tribe was trying to travel around, and these guys decided to go straight through it as they fractured off of the tribe.
Dumb asses.
Pretty much, yeah, and they all died except for Zig, and it's good, though. The version I have has a couple translation hiccups, but...
As most versions are wont to do.
Yeah. I mean, these are a little more noticeable than that. You know, they sort of go into full-on how do I shot web territory.
Some proper English.
Yeah, there's some good proper English in it, but it's nothing super jarring.
Yeah, you're able to figure out what they're saying.
Yeah, but the art is really good, actually. I know there was something I was going to compare it to. But
it's a very similar art style. The painting is talking with garter belt, except for, you know, the outline, the background, and the animation and everything.
Pretty much, yeah. but no, it's...
The eyes are similar.
There's a lot of... It's very Final Fantasy wardrobe-y, I guess. The wardrobe is very Final Fantasy.
Okay, that like means...
Long leather jackets, belts everywhere.
Ah, okay, so they all look like idiots.
That so dark steampunk? Dark modern steampunk.
Steampunk implies that there's mechanics involved.
Yeah.
I said modern. So it's steep.
Yeah, but there's still be... But there'd still be mechanics. Like someone have like a piston on their elbow or something.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have like weird goggles that have like cogs that go out to like 17 different lengths. But that they never wear.
And that's how you launch. That's how you launch an anti-idol missile out of your piston elbow. There.
You just. Boom.
Yeah, but basically it's him trying to fight his way to the top, starting from like 900,000.
Yeah. But in actuality, he's the best around. Nothing is going to ever bring him down.
You're the best around. I should stop that.
Yes, you should. Why do you think...
I'm going to be the very best.
Not in this context.
But
there's the standard sort of conspiracy of the top seven to completely screw everybody else over. The implied conspiracy. I guess they haven't come out and said that they were all directly evil.
So, is it like a bunch of people think they're evil, or is it just one guy who's like in a basement somewhere saying, dude, they're all totally evil, and the main guy's the only one who believes them?
There aren't really any rumors going around, but needless to say that the top seven want to keep their ranks.
Okay.
Because the way it works is anybody can challenge anybody, but the winner, if the lower ranked person wins the fight, they switch ranks.
Okay.
So, in theory, Zig at 900,000th could challenge the number one guy. And if he won, he would jump 899,999 ranks.
That would really suck if your weapon was feathers and number one ranked was ticklish. Easy win.
You just go over there and just start using like the bullshit tactics. Like, I'm gonna throw dirt in your eye. Like, I'm gonna throw dirt in your eye. Then I'm gonna get my friend to go behind you so I can push you over. What constitutes the defeat in that thing? Is it like they're dead, like knockout, or what?
They can no longer fight.
Okay, so
it can be dead. It can be knocked out. It can be completely incapacitated.
Yeah. So just go up there with a leaf blower and some itching powder, and you're good. You can't exactly fight if you're itching all over.
Don't forget to lace their food beforehand with, like, diarrhea,
laxatives-inducing,
yes.
No, lace it with diarrhea.
Yes, I've done that!
Yeah.
But it seems to have slight Arabic influences, which is interesting. It's a nice little breather from the normal...
How so?
...stuff. Like, just a lot of... Well, their nomadic tribes are everywhere. It's more or less a big desert surrounding the main city.
Okay.
Which is Basalta. And a lot of the people seem to be... A lot of the major characters have the sort of garb as such.
Okay.
But are there magic carpets?
No.
Is there
there are science carpets that fly, but they're not magic.
Is there a really creepy guy with a really thick mustache and, like, two teeth who's singing about another Arabian night?
Not as of yet.
It's only a matter of time.
But yeah, it's...
And then Robin Williams starts rapping.
I think it's in third volume now. But, yeah, it's good. Check it out.
Okay.
Woohoo! Now, on to my final one, which will probably get a little wordy.
Yeah, on the clock.
But, okay, it's called Legend of Tyr.
Sounds familiar.
And basically what it breaks down to is brothers Tyr and Loki are the sons of a world famous blacksmith.
Is Loki adopted?
No, they're both his sons. Loki is basically less than impressed with the situation and chooses to jump ship with a band of mercenaries after helping them mop up a band of local thugs. And so he goes off to be a mercenary and basically abandons his blacksmithing apprenticeship, leaving that responsibility to his younger brother, Tyr. Jump however long into the future, I think it's a year or two.
Yes.
And a messenger, a mysterious cloaked smoke messenger guy, shows up to let them know that Loki is dead and to deliver his travel journal to Tyr, who, after looking at the journal, decides that Loki is most certainly not dead and also jumps ship from his blacksmithing apprenticeship to go track down his brother. He meets friends and enemies and enemies that become friends along the way.
Any it draws basically enemies.
But basically, it this one seems to draw the names from Norse mythology.
Okay,
but pretty much nothing else.
So we got Ul, Bragi, Hoth, or whatever the fuck his name is, Frigg, Odin.
Odin is implied to be their father.
Okay.
Is implied to be the blacksmith. There's Tyr, which is the Norse god of heroic victory, yeah, and single combat, I think.
They're Baldur? The Norse god of being a bitch?
And there have been some other minor characters, like there's monsters that are mentioned, and I can't think of many right off the top of my head. But, you know, Yggdrasil is actually a main character, or Yggdrasil's son. I'm actually not sure of the seed's gender.
Okay.
But basically, at some point, they find a root of Yggdrasil, and it's alive, and they take it with them, a piece of it with them, and it serves as a sort of advisor. And
Sidekick. So a talking piece of a tree?
Yes.
Is just rolling with them?
Well, yeah. It's hooked to a mana stone.
Okay. So they take away the mana stone. So they take away the mana stone, does it die?
Not really. It turns into a seed, which basically renders it but it needs to find the right place to lay its roots down.
Okay.
You know, so it can become the next Yggdrasil.
Okay.
So, there is sort of the implication that it happens long after the sort of Norse mythology happens, and
yeah,
people just happen to have a lot of the same names.
Oh yeah, Yggdrasil was the guy who turned into a tree.
Yeah. The world's...
Yeah, I remember that from the Almighty Johnsons. I'm learning!
Good job, dead man!
Yay!
I would give you a cookie, but you're too far away.
Mail it to
I'm
me.
I'm not sure...
I'll send you a picture of a cookie.
Mail me the cookie.
I'm not sure what style it is, but it's, you know, one of the left-to-right ones.
I'm pretty sure that's Korean.
Yeah, I thought it was Korean, too. But it is good. It's a very sort of stylized fighting kind of thing.
Okay.
There are mercenaries, and then there are quote-unquote warriors, I think they're called. Warriors or fighters. And they can use basically magic to augment their abilities and stuff.
Okay.
Like one of the guys can cause a fire explosion from his hand.
So he has learned...
And he better be careful while he's in the bathroom.
So he has learned the adept level spell of fire.
I forget the name of the exact spell, but yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it's Firebolt.
I meant in the actual material.
Does damage to enemies within 15 meters of the blast radius. And cost 87 mana to cost. 87 mana to cast.
Uh-huh.
I played Skyrim!
It's sort of like an RPG with Norse mythology as the vague... the very loose inspiration for.
Ah, so it's like if Two Human was an anime and good.
Sort of. I guess you could say that. Except it more loosely follows the Norse mythology than Two Human, I think. Two Human implies that they were actual sort of
they were space marines.
Yeah. This implies that whatever happened with the original pantheon is done and over with, and people are just sort of taking up their names.
Okay.
But yeah, and... well, yeah, check it out.
Okay.
It's awesome. Yeah, there are some childish points, but overall it is very well written and... yeah, it's good.
Okay. So, that's it for you then?
Yep. I think I'll let you go for now.
So, before we get on Anime Club, we have news.
Yep. News?
Yeah, so, starting off, the creator of Naruto has said that the series is rising to its climax and will end soon.
Soon being, well, relative to length of manga story
after
arc.
The entire war is over.
Yeah. In the most recent chapter, they're kind of like getting into the idea that maybe Sasuke isn't going to destroy Konoha or whatever.
Well, yeah,
it's already destroyed.
And there also seems to be the implication that Tobi is Orochimaru.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what?
Yeah. Yeah, he seems like the kind of thing that would just be like, hey guys, guess what? The series ending? Dick move. Hey, guess what? Orochimaru isn't actually dead. It's like, Kabuto didn't eat his corpse. He just ate the remaining flesh. He just ate a former husk.
Well, yeah, Orochimaru's ditched bodies left and right.
Yeah. Orochimaru didn't ditch his last body. He just pooped out a body and shaped it into looking like an actual body.
And Ninja Kitty has finally realized that she needs to hide... spoilers.
Yeah, so Kabuto actually just ate a pile of Orochimaru's shit. So, yeah. Naruto's coming to an end. So that is two of the big three coming to an end. So.
Eventually.
Eventually.
I don't think Bleach is set to end until, like, the end of this year.
The countdown has begun.
Well, yes. Yeah, the arc, this is the final arc of Bleach, and there's no word on what the final arc will be of Naruto, but...
yeah. I'm guessing it's going to be a climactic battle.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. Possibly involving a tailed beast or two.
Or just one.
Yeah.
Winky.
Could be the nine and a half tails.
I was more implying the ten.
I know, but like... then that will mean that Naruto is either dead or...
the host?
Yeah, or he's the host of the Ten-Tailed Beast. Which would be insane. And
fighting
awesome.
Orochimaru?
He's fighting Orochimaru as the Jinchuriki. As the Jinchuriki, the Ten-Tailed Beast. That'd be awesome. Does he get the Ten-Tailed Beast cloak on? It turns out the Ten-Tailed Beast is just Naruto.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the whiskers on his face just grow into tails. But yeah, I'm being stupid now.
Wild speculation!
Yeah. It's like, Sasuke is actually a girl this whole time. But yeah, so
that
with the...
Sakura loves him more.
Yeah. Turns out she's always been a lesbian. That's why she's so violent. But yeah, so with another one of these series ending, still begs the question, what's going to replace it? As what are going to replace the two series as the big three? Like, One Piece, I'm pretty sure someone said that like that's only halfway done or something. But then we got Bleach in its last arc, Naruto heading towards its last arc. So what's going to replace those two?
Well, I know I put one of my nominations forward as Fairy Tail.
Yeah, I'm just wondering about that one because it is very similar to One Piece. And I do mean very similar.
Don't buy it's as similar as people say. I haven't watched a lot of One Piece, but I've watched enough of it to say that they're not as similar as people are calling them.
I watch everything of One Piece, and it is very similar. Believe me, bro.
Alright, whatever you say.
Like, even the art style is kind of similar. Like, well, it was back a while ago, but the art styles have differed themselves enough. But yeah, what else could there be? Pudge?
Well, I am sort of looking at the Shonen Jump rankings for the most recent issue, and the first one that I recognize after One Piece, which is third, by the way.
Yeah, I know. It's the third of the big three.
Is Nisekoi, which I'm sort of surprised is on there.
Yeah, I've never heard of that one.
It's... The storyline gets a little convoluted, but it basically boils down to a harem comedy.
Okay. I can see why that one could be popular.
Because, you know, it's very well done.
Because, you know, guys like harems.
Stuff. But, you know, in its simplest form, it's a harem comedy. But, you know, above One Piece are Toriko, which is a fighting manga, if I'm recalling correctly.
It's a fighting slash food manga.
And you're not the first person I've heard to suggest Toriko.
Yeah, like, I've read some Toriko, and it is pretty good. Like, it is nicely insane and shit. Where, like, the main character is, like, a world-class food hunter. Who goes to, like, the most dangerous locations in the world to find the best possible food. Like, every single animal on the planet has been, at some point, killed, cooked, and eaten. And so each one of them is given, like, a rarity rating as well as a danger rating. It's like, oh my god, hey, this creature's, like, she's like level 8, like AAA level delicious, but like an S level danger. And so then Toriko goes after like the most dangerous animals he can, kills them with the use of his fork and knife, aka his hand held out like held like karate chop by someone, and his other hand held out with his fingers poked forward. He like lives in a gingerbread house, which every morning he gets up and eats a piece of.
Who made it for him?
Himself.
Damn.
Yeah, like, his entire goal is to create his ultimate 10-course meal.
Well, that's a better life goal than some people.
Yeah. That is his entire dream, to find the most delicious food in the world, cook it, and make it into a 10-course meal.
At the end of that meal, he will die.
Probably.
Happy and fulfilled.
Yeah. But anyway, so what's above Toriko?
But, above Toriko is a new one, so I'm not entirely sure how long that's going to sit there, but I can't find any information on it quickly. It's called Takamagahara.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, neither have I, to be honest. But then again, I don't know everything, despite what some may believe.
I know you're
but,
actually
you know, there's
that knows
Beelzebub
everything.
On there, Gintama.
Oh, yeah, Beelzebub.
Sket Dance.
It's been so long since I've read Beelzebub.
It's good. It's gotten, you know, they started taking things to their completely illogical extreme.
Yeah, I got to the point where the main guy was being trained by the old man with the other guys.
Okay, yeah, you've got a ways.
Yeah, I know. It's like I have a few dozen chapters to catch up on.
He's basically turned himself into an Alucard character right now.
Oh, yeah. So he walks backwards a lot?
Not really.
Does
referring to the Helsing, not the Castlevania.
Okay, does he have a weird coat that summons demon dogs with 12 eyes on them?
Not so much, but it's more the characteristic of, despite how it may look at any given time, there's not a single person on the planet that is nearly as powerful as he is.
Okay.
Sort of doing this to make it more fun for himself.
Does he bring on a big boobed apprentice with a cannon?
No, he does have whatever the girl's name is, and Hilda.
Those two are still rolling together?
Yeah.
Damn. Showing commitment. Yeah, showing commitment. I did not expect from him.
Biel is still around, so Hilda will be.
No, I'm not talking about Hilda, I'm talking about the other girl.
Oh, Owie? That's the name.
Yeah. Like.
Yeah, they're all a team, all the...
There's the delinquents from the original school,
and then there were the delinquents from the school they moved to after they burned down their school. And then there's sort of the demon is Biel's older brother's demon army.
Oh yeah, because he has an older brother. Right, I forgot about him. Okay, well yeah, so.
But yes. Those
are our predictions for what's going to be the next big three.
There will be a power vacuum, and it will be filled.
Yes. And so, moving on. Last piece of news. So, Persona 3 is getting a movie.
Ooh.
Yes, so apparently at the end of a theatrical release of Persona 4, it was teased that Persona 3, Factor of Hope, is going to be coming out. It's going to be a full anime thing, that's going to be following the adventures of the members of Cease, which is the group of kids who have the ability to get personas. Yeah, and they also have a site up. It's a p3m.jp. And on that site, they have a clock on there, as well as a picture of the main character from the games with his eye closed. So that eye covered by emo hair. And so I'm guessing when the clock hits midnight, something's going to happen. Because that is the time of the dark hour. I will watch this and get back to you. I currently have the site up, so yeah, there's that. But yeah. Those are for news. On to Anime Club! So, Bobby, this was your pick. What'd you pick again?
Usagi Drop.
Okay, so explain this series to people.
So a dude adopts his own aunt.
Okay.
I'll do a bit of a better synopsis than that. Basically, it follows the main character, Daikichi, who goes to his grandfather's funeral. He finds out that his grandfather had an illegitimate daughter, who is his aunt, and as his family is discussing what to do with her, no one really wants to take responsibility, so he steps up and he says, I'm going to take care of her. And the anime
kind of creepily, he's like, hey, want to come home with me? Then she comes up and grabs
him. I will do it.
Yeah, then she comes up and grabs his pants.
I will take the child to my house.
Yes. We shall sleep on the same futon. It'll be glorious. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, the anime goes from there. It's basically, Daikichi living with Rin.
Yeah.
And learning how to be a father very, very quickly.
Yeah, so I want to say, first off, the animation style before the main theme intro thing much better fits the show than the animation style that happens after the theme.
Yeah, I have to agree. The watercolor style is something unique, and yeah, it fits the feel of the show, whereas the other style is kind of, you know, we've seen it 100 times.
Yeah, so what happens is before the thing, all the characters are, like, kind of brightly lit. You see, like, much more defined, like, light reflection off their hair. And the entire world looks like a children's story or a children's book, wherein it's got, like, the hard outlines for everything, and then it's all watercolored in. So, like, there are some bits where, like, the color kind of, like, leaps out of the lines. There's other parts where, like, the color doesn't completely fill it in. But it looks fantastic for the show. Like, when I watched, like, when I first saw that, I was like, huh, I feel like I'm watching a children's show back when I was, like, 7. And I had to wake. It was like it felt like one of those shows that I'd watched before I went to school when I was like 5. But yeah, and then as soon as like title card hits, and then it's just, hey, it's anime.
Yeah, I guess a bit of a disappointing turn that they took there, but understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Pudge, you're awfully quiet. What do you think of the show?
It's nothing that doesn't jump out at you. But that's part of what makes it such a great series. I mean, I read the manga from start to finish. So, it gets very interesting. It gets into it's a very relationship-heavy show / manga. So, if you're not into that,
yeah, like when I was reading one of the like the synopses of this show, it said like how's he gonna handle living with this young girl, and how's this young girl gonna affect Daikichi's love life?
Easy, by helping him meet single moms.
Yeah, it's like, oh, isn't that cute? Is that your daughter? No, that's actually my aunt. Want to do it later?
No, seriously, I haven't watched the whole series start to finish. I've watched a lot of it, though.
I've watched 2 episodes.
There's a point in the series where, like, there's this kid in Rin's class whose mom is single, and, you know, she and Daikichi kind of start to get along. Yeah. He always outright refuses that there's anything romantic, though.
Yeah. Of course he does. He's, of course he does. He's the lead character of anime.
Yeah, that's what happens in that instance, yes. Stuff develops farther, and I won't spoil anything. You should really read the manga, because I'm sure the anime doesn't cover the whole thing. I'm sure they ended differently, because the ending was a bit weird, to be honest.
Yeah, it's like, but I feel like that show, I feel like that series works, I think, better as an anime than it would as a manga, because, like, one of the things I really liked about the show was seeing Rin just acting. Like, all the different animation styles that happen with her face, everything that she does, like, in the first episode, so she's, like, trying to quit fucking around with your mic, Pudge.
Yeah, stop. I know your brain is so terrified of the current conversation that it's trying to claw its way out of your skull, but we'll save that for amnesia.
Well, yeah, so, like, in the first episode when she is, like, trying to, she has, like, an incense that she's trying to, like, wave out and then put into the thing, and she's, like, freaking out, like, oh, what more? And then, like, to see her face turn into, like, this kind of frustrated anime girl face. She's like freaking out, waving it around. That worked really well because it was all like in motion. If it was all like in a manga, I feel like it wouldn't work as well as it did.
Fair enough.
Yeah, it would look really choppy and stuff, and you wouldn't really be able to follow like how she transitioned.
Yeah, and like just her, it's like her acting, like when she was again in the first episode when she was like trying to stay up all night trying to like keep awake, you just see her like wobbling around like she's about like someone like got her like someone just beat her at Mortal Kombat. It was like way around like it was like falls back and she's like you see her rubbing her eyes like a kid does. That
yeah, I can kind of see how they would represent that in a manga, but I do see what you mean about how it would work better in an anime setting.
Yeah. Yeah, it needs the transitional pieces. It can't just work with keyframes.
Well, I enjoyed the manga anyway.
You
make valid points and everything.
Yeah, like I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that the manga isn't going to be good, because this is like a good story. I do like the story of it, and just seeing these two and like seeing Daikichi and Rin just get used to life with each other, it would be really cool no matter how you looked at it. But I still feel that it would be better as an anime. Like, if they had just started as an anime, did everything all out that way, and then transitioned it into a manga.
Well, then it might not have been made, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's fine for them to be made in the order, it's just you're saying that the anime is probably a better representation, and
yes.
There you go, that's your idea, that it's probably a better representation.
Yeah.
They're both still good, and they both still have the right to exist in the order that they did.
Yes. But I'm just saying, that I am not always a fan of anime translations of manga. So if they had have done like a backwards kind of thing of like what Gurren Lagann did of starting with the anime and then making a manga out of it.
Well, once again, then it might not have existed. It's a difficult hypothetical to entertain.
Yeah, but whatever. The show for me works better as an anime than a manga. End of point. Do you guys have points?
Overall, it's probably the only slice of life anime that I've really gotten to enjoy.
Yeah.
I don't usually watch slice of life stuff, but this one really did catch my attention and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's a really nice anime to watch, even if you're into the whole blood and gore. It's a nice one.
Yeah, and it's always weird because I don't, like you guys, I don't really watch or read just straight slice of life. It's usually slice of life plus something else that's insane. Like
swords and guns.
It's slice of life, but the girl in it is 50 meters tall and fights alien monsters.
Or it's slice of life, but it's Jesus and Buddha.
Yeah, exactly. This is just straight up, it's like, hey, these guys, they're normal. They're living their lives. This is what happens. And it was actually kind of refreshing. It's kind of cleansing my palate of the insanity of some of the stuff with just a dude and his daughter aunt.
Adopted aunt.
She wasn't... Did he ever officially adopt her?
No.
No, because that would make... Well, I'm not going to spoil anything.
It's like, my daughter is... It's like, my dad's my my dad's my nephew.
But
ding 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 ding.
But no, at one point he actually does suggest adopting her so that she doesn't have to deal with awkwardness at school. He's like, I understand it might be awkward at school to tell people that you live with your nephew, so I could adopt you, I could be your new dad, and you could take my name. And she's like, no, I like my name, I like who my dad was, and I'm fine with everything as it is. Okay then.
And then it gets to like her as eight. It gets like her at like age 18. She's all messed up. She's doing drugs. It's like you're not my dad.
Well, not turns really, out that because in the actual manga, there is a time skip when she goes to 17.
And actually, they're going to be making an anime out of that.
Yeah,
it's going to be its own separate anime, though.
Yeah, but I didn't say 17. I said 18. A lot can happen over the course of a year.
Not with the ending they gave it.
But she die?
Well, you'll have to watch it and find out.
Yeah.
That would put a very sour note on this slice of life anime.
Yeah, it's a very nice anime, and if it ended with her dying, I would be very, very, very sad.
Hey, people die. Fact of life.
I would start cutting myself.
And the show starts with someone dying.
I would give myself an emo over and dye my hair black.
Yeah, be sure.
Then I would smack you.
Yeah. But be sure to switch the part regularly, or else you'll get one. Else get lazy eye in one eye. Optometrists recommend that if you're going for the emo haircut, to alternate the side of your emo comb over regularly.
I can tell you right now.
I don't want to see the pain of this world properly.
I can tell you right now, just nobody dies.
No. So everyone lives forever. It's a hellish landscape where the world's overpopulated. It's kind of like that Torchwood special.
I actually kind of figured that because I've heard rumors as to the origin of this manga. Only rumors, though.
It's written by Stephen Moffat.
No, the rumored origin of this manga is basically Rin is pretty much the author.
Okay.
Like I said, only rumors, though, so I don't know any of this for sure whatsoever.
Yeah, and Daikichi's a cat. The author was actually raised by a cat. Fun fact. But yeah, Budge.
I wish I was raised by a cat.
Budge, you have a point.
Yeah, I especially like this because it's... Well, because of its lack of drama.
Mm-hmm.
Complete and utter lack of any sort of drama or suspense or anything. There's one part, I guess, where it's not really suspense. I think the single mom that they're hitting off, I guess, gets sick. Like, and the kids make a big deal out of it.
Like sick, or just like she has a cold?
I think she stays home with like a cold or the flu or something. And the kids make a big deal out of it.
It's like, Osprey, you have the sniffles. You're going to have to go to school yourself. Oh my god, mom's dying!
I mean, to be fair, it was a pretty bad cold.
And then the kids start a car wash to raise money for cancer research. Slice of life. It can happen. Stop mocking me!
Never.
I'd say we're done with this one.
Okay.
If you want to hear us talk more about it, watch the, do the Let's Watch.
So yeah, we have, so this week is the start of a new thing, the Anime Club Supplement. So with that one, we're going to be every single time we do one of these, we're also going to be posting up with it our commentary of the first episode of whatever series we're talking about. So we have one for, so we have our first, we have a commentary for the first episode of Usagi Drop. It's very rape-filled. It's rape-tastic. And, yeah, we're going to be doing more of those. So, I'm the one who chooses the next series. So, the next series we're going to be watching for this thing is from the creator of Folliculi and Gurren Lagann, Panty and Stocking with Garter Belt. Good lord, is this series insane. It's from the guy who made fucking Folliculi. Of course it's fucking insane.
Good to know.
But yeah, so, we're going to be watching. So, be sure to bone up on that and to come back in 2 weeks. We're going to be doing the next episode of the anime podcast.
I'm sorry. That was just hilarious how bone when you're talking about Penny and talking with Garter Belt.
Yeah. That's a knee slapper. They have
well,
no idea.
Bump, but I bump.
Yeah. Bovi, can you have no idea what we're talking about? Yeah, it's like, for those of you out there who know what Panty Stocking with Garter Belt is, Bovi actually thought it was a series about panty stockings and garter belts.
What did I think this? What?
I remember, I said to you, it's like, so next series is Panty Stocking with Garter Belt. You said, is that a show about panties and stockings?
Excuse me?
Someone said that, I don't fucking know.
A girl said that.
Okay then.
So not me.
I'm the idiot.
So Bovi said that.
Was this a text discussion?
No, we talked about this like 10 minutes ago.
Oh. Yeah.
Like 10 minutes before we started doing this.
I'm assuming that it is what its title is.
Oh, right. Yeah, that was not me.
I don't know, dude. You both sound so similar, and you're both so feminine. Both about the same size. It's easy to get you too confused.
I will murder you.
I think I have things on my chest that it may be a little bit different than him. They're kind of noticeable sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes this wasn't one of those times.
Right.
Audio podcast.
Audio.
Yeah.
I'm smart. I'll be fine.
Anyways, let's bring this to an end.
So yeah, sure to come back tomorrow for the first commentary of CG Month. We'll be doing a commentary of Tangled with special guest Pudgetron.
Yes, I will watch the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. Sure to come back on Sunday to allgames.com for the Anything Cast Live. We may have Pudge on that. I don't know. We'll see.
We shall see.
But yeah, and then next week we have comics on Wednesday, movies on Friday, and the commentary track for Puss in Boots going up that Friday. So hopefully the site will be up by then. If you're listening to this, it probably is up. So yeah. And so yeah. But until then, I'm dead.
I'm Bovilon.
I'm Pudgetron.
And I'm Ninja Kitty, and I have a really good idea for the next chapter of the Jesus Buddha thing. Jesus meets Buddha's ADHD, hyperactive little brother, the Dalai Lama. Yes, I want to make it happen.
Yeah. Like, hey, Jesus Buddha guy, call us.
That was not a one-liner.
Sorry!
We'll see you guys next time.